should have done that before I came. Excuse me. Yeah, I know it's Wednesday and working, I'm tired. Excuse me. But your reward will be greater than that. God knows you and the effort you have to make. And God keeping track of all that stuff. In fact, you're going to be more blessed that you came than if you would have came. So we have a good God and we serve a good God. Amen. I will read you one of the scriptures right quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3. let me see if we can get this in the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Are you guys doing okay? Yeah. You're probably doing better than me. I gotta be here. You just sit down and relax. I gotta do all the work, all the driving. All scriptures, Brother Doug quoted this before closing. Last time he preached, he says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And 17, that the man of God may be what?
Perfect.
You know what that word means? Mature. So that's what you hear. Because you want to be changed. You want to be a step higher. What you're saying is, I want to be more mature. Well, it's just like a baby. If you don't feed him and you don't give him nutrients and food, it will never grow. There's a problem. But that's why you come over here so we can feed you the Word of God so you can just come up a little higher. That when you live here, you live a little bit more mature. Not all mature. That's how two different things. You can be all and not mature, though. Mature. It says, so the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished. I mean, nothing. You will lack nothing. Everything that you have need, you will have. No more, no less. Unto all good work. So, all this, you know, development, preparation, all this growing to maturity is so you do some good work. Yeah. It's a preparation, right? Just like we grow in the natural. Go to college. After you get an education, you develop, you get abilities, you get this and that, and then you go what? To do good work. It's not just to sit on it and figure out what I'm going to do next, you know. No. If we are growing, we should be doing more work. Work that it was predestined before the foundation of the world to do. So you are here because God has a word for you. And the more you grow, the more work you have to do with the body. You are a part of the body, a member of the body. And if you are growing, you have a work to do in that body.
Right.
You cannot tell me that you're here and you have nothing to do and you don't know what to do. You have a work to do.
Right.
The preparation and development and all that, it leads to that.
Right.
See? So if you haven't figured it out, we're going to figure it out tonight, okay? So let us pray. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity that we have to come to your presence with our brothers and sisters, Lord, and to break the bread of life. So when we live here, we can be better than where we came in, Father. Whatever you have to do tonight, correct us. Whatever, Father, we take it. Because it's not that you are perfect, Father, and you know exactly what we have need. If we need correction, this is the house of correction. This is a house of training. This is a house, Father, that you come and you deal with your children, Father, as a body. Father, we ask you now to have the liberty to use my body, Father, in any way you want to. And we get out of the way and you can have your way with me, Father. Yeah, we pray for our brother Baker and Jennifer. Sister Jennifer, we cover them, Father. Father, just protect them and keep them. And may they go and come back. And they can tell us how good you were, Father. We thank you, we love you. Help me, Father, give me the strength and give me the energy. Father, give me the words that you need for your people. It's not my word and your work. So I stand here ready to fulfill my part so you can use me as you desire. In Jesus' name we ask you these things. Amen. You can be seated. Excuse me, but I don't even care what it is. I'm not supposed to worry about anything, right? So people say, what are you like that? What are you sneezing? What are you? Oh, I don't know, but he knows. Why should I worry about it? You know? I went to the doctor yesterday for my yearly exam, and I was better than last year. I have improved a little bit, but I have improved. My cholesterol, my thyroid went down in a more within levels, you know. It was 13, I was kind of, you know, 10 is just about borderline. Mine was in 13 or something. Now it's at least 10. So the doctor said, well, you have improved some, so just keep doing whatever you're doing. So I thank the Lord for that. All my blood tests came just right. No inflammations. Liver or kidneys. My heart is just still pounding. Like it's doing right now. I'm trying to kind of... I'm talking because I'm trying to settle down. But the thing is, you know, we worry so much. And we shouldn't. You know, when I took the supper, I drank the wine, and I said, in this cup, there's healing. Yeah. That's what Brother says. So, right. Well, amen. I took my test, and she says, see you next year. I said, if you don't see me, you're going to be worried. That means I'm out of here. Yeah. You don't want to stay behind. But I said, she said, well, I said, no, nothing, just playing that way. Anyway, let us look at the Amplify version here and see what it says, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scriptures is good, breath, and is breath of God. All scriptures are breathed, you know, in the beginning, he blew his breath on, yeah, and that's what it means. All scriptures are that. We're talking, and God is breathing his word, you know. All you have to do, just fill it up, you know, fill those lungs up. It says it's given by divine inspiration, by God only. And it's profitable. I think I had that, I don't have it there in the notes. Oh, you're loading, okay, reloading, okay. And it's profitable for instructions, for conviction, for correction, you know, error. Restoration for obedience, if we're disobedient, for correction, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity with God's will.
Yes.
Both publicly and privately. So you're not acting different, right? You guys are not here and there when you're home. You are where you're home, not here.
Amen.
Behaving honorably with all persons, integrity, and moral courage. So 17 says, so that the man of God may be completed. We want to be complete. Not only you, because the body cannot be completed without you. So the Bible, Paul says that they are waiting on us, the ones that are already sleeping. You know, they already went the way of the grave. They cannot be completed without what? Us. And we, as a body here now, we cannot be completed if one is not completed.
Right.
Because the body is members. The body is just you. So we need everybody to get completed, to be mature,
right,
so the body will work. If one of you are lacking, this body is not completed.
Right.
It's not acting, performing the way it should be, because something is not working. Can you imagine if my thyroid or my liver decide not to work or take it off or relax? No, it grows as I grow. As the body grows, we all members needs to grow.
Right.
You cannot stay behind. This is not a free ride. You just come to church and sit down.
Right.
And that was a nice sermon. Okay, where are you now?
Yeah.
Well, worse than you came in or better than you came in?
Right.
You need to understand that if you are part of this body right here, local, if you're not ready, we are not ready.
Right.
Period. One can make it fail the whole thing. We're not going to fail. God's not going to fail. So we'll be complete. And proficient. Not only complete, but we're going to be doing what we're supposed to do.
Right.
In the right way.
Amen.
I'll feed it. Not lacking anything. God is will going to put you in uniform, all right? And going to give you a weapon, an arm, everything that you have need. To fulfill your calling, he will supply.
Amen.
Period. And thoroughly equipped. See, everything that you need to do your work, he will equip you.
Yes.
So, if somebody's not growing, you know, you take a baby, you know, let's take a sample, you know. If a baby is not growing the way it's supposed to, well, there's a problem. And sometimes we got problems. Well, let me not get there yet. Okay. So that man will be completed, equipped with every good work. So you don't have to figure out how I'm going to do this. If God called you to do something, he will equip you.
Right.
If not, you're in the wrong place.
Right.
Ephesians, then I want to jump to Ephesians 4:14-15. Also is Amplify. It says, so that we are no longer what? Children. I hate to see a 40-year-old children. Huh?
Right.
Somebody that came into the message and is still acting like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I do. I don't know if I come or I go.
Yep.
So that we are no longer children. You know, it's all right when you were, Paul says, when I was a child, I acted like it. That's fine. But now I'm no longer a child. And you guys been over here long enough, we are no longer, there's no child here beside the one that's beginning the journey. But us, that we've been in the journey long enough,
right,
we should be maturing somewhere.
Yes.
If we're still doing the same thing we did when we started, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
But we'll find out.
Yeah.
It won't help the body. That's the problem. In this situation, it will not help the local body.
Right.
Because the local body is lacking a member. That's what Brother Doc says. If when one meets the service, the dynamic will change.
Right.
Because if God puts you over here, then it's a purpose for you to be here as a body.
Right.
Sorry, I'm not mad at you guys. I'm just so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature.
Right.
Can you imagine you are there in the Sabino, something, you get lost. Your pastor is not there to pray for you. But if you're the child, you know what a child will do, right? It probably freak out and just run and scream until he loses all his energy and fall and go to sleep. I don't know. But we don't do that. When you mature, you know what to do.
Right.
And you know who can do for you. You don't have to have your pastor or you don't have to have anybody. In any situation, you can do it yourself. Why? Because you're spiritually mature.
Amen.
See, you're not tossed back and forth like a sheep on a stormy sea. Or carry about every wind of shifting doctrines. Wherever the wind go, there's I go.
Right.
Say people come, people go.
Right.
Immature. It says, and carry about every wind of doctrine by the cunning and trickery of men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit, building kingdoms. And people don't know. They go from church to church.
Right.
Immature is what Paul calls it. They haven't reached a level of maturity. Can you imagine you marry your husband and then one day he's home, one day he never comes, a week later he comes? What kind of a, he has responsibility. Now he has a wife, he has children. Now he needs to grow. The family needs to, can you imagine? When I got married, I mean, my wife is there. Nothing wrong, but at the beginning I thought I was still me. I wasn't making the transition yet. So I was still going out with the guys and we were having fun and coming home at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't doing nothing wrong, just hanging out with the guys. I was in the army then. I wasn't in the message. So one day she stopped me. He said, if you don't stop that, I'm leaving. And that kind of shocked me, kind of brought me to reality. Then I realized, she's right. I mean, she kind of shook me when she said she was going to leave me. She wouldn't leave me. She's trying to scare me. And she did. She scared me. Anyway, we'll be married 50 years next week. Thank you. Yeah, April 7, 50. So, according to the law of Moses, I can go free. No, I cannot live free after 50 years. How can you do that? Then I have to wear an hour. No. 50 years, century. I was reading the internet to see how many people makes it that far. It says a 7 to 10%. With the divorce and things like that and all the things, people die early. But only a 7 to 10% make it over 50 being married. Anyway, let's leave that there. So, I know she needs a purple heart because it's been battling, It's not an easy journey. We're going to get into that a little later. But it says, personal profit, but speaking the truth, 15, in love, okay? And in all things, but our speech and our life expressing his truth. When people mature, they are being walking Bibles. Because now they're expressing who? They're manifesting the word. You are written epistles, remember? Every time you come to church, we write a little bit more on you. And a little bit more so you can go and put it to work and practice. So you become a what? A written epistle to those that don't know anything. You are. When they see you are there in Walmart, you are the mother type, the way you dress. When you go to school, you are the good type of person, with the right belief and the right posture and the right conversation. You are the example. And if you're not, then you're immature. You haven't got there yet. So, but that's why we come, to teach you, to train you, so you can grow. Amen. 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 He says, speech in our life expressing his truth. Let us grow up in all things into him. That is Jesus Christ, who is the head. And that's what the title of the sermon is, Grow in Christ. Amen. Right? Grow in Christ. Because that is our goal. Growing up in Christ. Our goal is not to come to church every time. It is good. Our church is not just to have fun. It's good to have fun. It's good to do all those things. Fellowship and everything. Our goal, don't forget it. Your goal is to be like him.
Amen.
You need to grow unto him. That means what he was, you got to be that. So I don't know where you are, in your walk with God, but you need to examine yourself.
Right.
What I have learned today, do I put it to practice? What does that mean to me? What do I need to do with that? But Lord, show me. Because
right.
I want to be faithful.
Right.
I want to do the work that you call me to do right. in this body. I want to help. See? So we will be children thus no longer. See? Now, I want to go to Luke 2:52. Because he says Christ is our sample. Let's look at the sample. Wow, that's a lot of... I need one of those binoculars or whatever. No, sorry, they're going to have a hard time doing that. So, that's all right. We need to grow together. No, I'm not going to use it myself as a sample. Anyway. So Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus increased in what? That's what you're here for. Every time you come to church, your expectation is that something happens. It's added to you. Stature. Wisdom. And what? Stature is your body. As you grow, also in the spiritual, you are growing also in the physical. Getting older. And in favor with God and man. Now, let's look at my wisdom. I think it's there too with me. Now, Revelation 9:10 says, Proverbs 9:10, it says that wisdom is fear of the Lord. But that's the beginning, okay? It's reverent, being respectful, not to fear God.
Right.
But that's the beginning of wisdom, see?
Right.
But wisdom is the ability to apply divine truth to every life choices. Not intellectual. Whatever you learn in church, you walk out there with it, and you do it. See?
Amen.
Everyday life, the right choices. Godly living, reverence to God. Focusing on making decisions that honor God.
Amen.
That's growing.
Right.
Showing grace and promoting peace. Just like God had grace and mercy on you, you should. As you grow, you want to, you know, provide that to others.
Yeah.
Or be that to others. God did it for you. Like today, you know, we're in different levels of growing, right? Some higher, some lower. I guess been years in the message, I don't mean anything, but I have grown. They're just getting started, right? Your people. But that don't mean anything. That means that whatever level you find yourself, if you have grown, then you don't say, well, I heard the sermon before. How many times is he going to preach that? Ah, he said that last year. Listen, you might have heard it. But they just started. So one of the things when you grow up is just to be patient with your brother. And instead of complaining that I heard that before, pray so they can get it, so we can all move on. Because until they grow and they complain, we ain't going nowhere. We need to be patient with one another. And those kind of attitudes are not acceptable in church. Because we can make things collapse completely. It says, grace and promoting peace. The right use of knowledge that understand truth. That is the short version of wisdom. The right use of knowledge that understand truth. See, he increased in wisdom. And wisdom, it is that you have the right true knowledge, that is the word of God. When we preach the truth, you get a knowledge of the truth. However, you need to understand that knowledge because you have to use it. But you cannot use it until you know what it is. So it has to be a revelation. The next thing is an understanding means a revelation. God had to, you hear the word, God can reveal it to you, then you have the wisdom to decide what you're going to do now.
Right.
So, the right use of the knowledge that understands the truth. Because you can be learning. You say, well, you can be here 40, 50 years, you can memorize the message, you can memorize the Bible, you can quote whatever, but the problem is how much of that understanding, how much of that knowledge you have understanding of. That's why we have all the doctrine.
Right.
Amen. So, a stature is growing in body. And Pharaoh was pleasing. Jesus was pleasing to God in everything that he did. He pleased God.
Yeah.
Not only God, but man too. Because he was a bless to all that he encountered. Amen. So, pleasing God in everything that we do. So, let me summarize the wisdom here. A revelation of the deeper spiritual reality for God in every situation. You have to have a revelation. You will not be able to have wisdom if you don't know what you're looking at and you don't know what is happening and you don't understand. That's why sometimes we try to get help from the mature ones. Because you are in a position you don't understand.
Right.
Yeah, you heard, but you don't understand.
Right.
Somebody can help you. Or you get in a situation that some of us already went through. That you don't have to try it out. See how it's going to happen.
Right.
Fine. Older brother, you know, sister.
Right.
Talk to your mom or your dad because you're growing up and you have a lot of knowledge, but you ain't got no wisdom yet.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
It's a journey.
Right.
It is not a one day to next day.
Right.
Poof, you're done. Let's go. No. It takes a life
right.
to grow, just like you. I was 77. I grew up. I don't know where the years went, but I grew up. You know, being obedient, respecting God, living a life aligned with the divine principles of the message. Discernment, you discern, you judge what is right and what is proper.
Yeah.
See, when you have wisdom, you can do all that. Also, you are walking, a walking word. You practice every day application of what's right and what's wrong. Okay. So when people see you there, what they're seeing is not you. What they're seeing, what God will do in this situation. And that's what you want to be. You want to be a Christ, as our brother preached earlier. Your people go out there and they have these logos in the denomination, what Christ will do. Well, what's some of you guys? And I tell them what God will do, because God will do something what the Bible said. But we need to have an understanding of that truth, a revelation. To be able to apply it. Wisdom will apply it. Amen. Timothy 3:7 says, Second Timothy 3:7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, that's a denomination. And people that come to church and they never grow. Why? They're always learning.
Right.
No revelation.
Right.
Why they're not getting revelation? That's up to them. That's not up to me to decide. Because God is the one that can give the revelation, not me, not the church. So if we are not living what we are hearing, then there's something missing.
Right.
God, what is this? And what am I supposed to do with this? Teach me your ways, Lord.
Right.
I just heard this. I heard, what does that mean? How do that apply to me? Because I want to do what is right, according to your will. So, ever learning, but no revelation. That's why we got all this kind of doctrine even in the message.
Right.
They are their own revelation.
Yeah.
That's not God revelation. That's intellectually.
Uh-huh.
Ephesians 4:14-15. No longer children, but grow up in Christ. And that's the title. Sounds better now. In Christ. That's why we're here tonight.
Amen.
Grow up in Christ. 2 Peter says, 3:18, and we are going to go to some scripture that kind of, what I'm trying to do is grind you to the scripture tonight. Because
right.
Wednesday I'm going to be here too. Brother will be back next week. So, then we preach about all the, let me just grind you in the scriptures and the message.
Good.
And then we can just let loose, okay?
Amen.
2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and knowledge. The more you grow, the more grace you have for other people. The more you grow, the more love you have for other people. The more knowledge, you know, you have, and more revelation, the better choices you can make. Based on God's will. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, the Thessalonians grew exceedingly in what?
Faith.
So you have to grow in love. You have to grow in in understanding. You have to grow in grace. You have to grow in faith. So not just one area. In order for you to be complete, you have to grow in all the areas. You know, you don't want to be a midget. You know, you grow in grace and you grow in knowledge, but where is your faith at? As we grow, yeah, that's what I call people that don't grow in church after 10, 20 years, the midget. Spiritually, not physically. You know, your faith should grow as you develop, as well with everything else. But if we're still 20 years in the message and we don't even have the faith to take God at His own word, then that's not growing. Philippians 1:9. Paul prayed for their love to abound more and more. The more we grow, all these elements has to grow in you. You cannot be growing in knowledge and not having the rest of the elements that go with it. That is the gift of the Spirit. You're growing in all this. It's a package deal. It's not a one thing. Okay? So when you see people growing, you see that their faith grow, and they're more grounded, and they can deal with the situations in life now. They can face challenges, and you know, they can trust God, they can rest in God. You see, they're not wobbly or shaking or scared, you know. As you grow, that's what a kid do when the kid, they don't understand. But as we grow, everything grow with us. No. And then you love. So, if you said that you love God, that's what the Bible said, but you hate your brother, you can have fellowship with your brother, then that's not growing.
Right.
Well, you're growing, but growing upside down, if you ask me. Instead of growing up, you're going down. John 2:27 said, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. The same anointing that is here is there. So it's not that I am more special than you. It is the same anointing. The same Spirit. Receive Him, abide in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing will teach you. The anointing that is here will reveal to you and teach you the things that you need to know. So if you come to church and I ask you, what did you learn tonight? Nothing. Well, sorry. I wonder where that anointing went. The anointing that is here, that always is here when preacher come, is for you to what? For the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what is being spoken here. I cannot reveal it to you, but the same Spirit in you will do it. So when you come over here, they ask you, what did you learn today at church? Well, I don't know. It was too, I didn't understand. Okay, well, that's fair. You know, there was nothing speaking to your heart. So you expect that when you come to church, it's not merely hearing me talk, but you want something in you to talk to you.
Right.
To take whatever I'm talking and reveal it to you.
Right.
And ye need not to any man to teach you. That don't mean that you don't need teachers. That's not what that means. But as the same anointing teaches you all of all things. So it's not that I know better than you, or I read more, or I'm more smart than you are. No. You have the same Holy Spirit that I have.
Amen.
So that Spirit will teach you the things that God put in my heart that you need to know tonight.
Right. Amen.
Or whoever comes. So when people come to preach, God wants to talk to you.
Right.
And if you open yourself and you let the Spirit have control, that anointing, God will speak to you. So what did God spoke to you guys tonight? Oh, I don't know. I was too noisy. I didn't hear anything. Okay. Teaches you all things, and is truth, and it's not a lie. And even it is as He had taught you, you shall abide in Him. Amen. The key is here. You have to abide. The key always is the verb. When you want to find out what the key focus of it is, the abide. Because if you don't abide, then He don't have to respond to you. But we come to church, we want to abide. We want that anointing to come and teach me. Matthew 17:5 says, while he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them in the Mount of Transfiguration. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. See? To dwell on him. Hear ye him. So that's the one that's speaking to you tonight. That one is in you. The one that is going to reveal you the, so you can understand the truth and you be wise. Not a wise guy. Wise in the word of God. Jesus, God said that he was pleased to dwell in the body. And that is one of the signs of growing. That was Jesus, right? So you want a desire to have God to dwell. And the only way he can dwell is if you please him. If you obey. If you let him have his way. That's what God needs. God is waiting on you. Not you are not waiting on God. God is waiting on us to just right. let go and hear. Right. Take it. Because he wants to do a work. Right. The only person that is in the way is you.
Right.
Not me, not the pastor, not your wife. You are the, your worst enemy.
Right.
God wants to finish the work.
Right.
And he's ready to finish the work. But he's a gentleman. He's not going to force you. But the more you wait, the longer you wait, that member is not working. Can you imagine if you are my fat toe in the leg? You know that's what balances your body, your big toes. Can you imagine if that member is not doing and not growing, and that toe is not growing? So the whole body is going to be kind of unbalanced every time we take a step. Just for one person that is not growing. That toe has to grow with the body. And the person has to grow with the body or the body will not be completed. But I know it's going to be completed because God is in charge.
Amen.
And God is in control. You're son of God. God is going to make sure somehow, some way that you get to your place and your position and do the work that he has intended for you to do. If it's only to come to church and clap your hands and say amen. You know? Hebrews 5:8. The thought he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. You know, it is a long journey. It is complex, you know, this journey. And everything that happens to you in this journey, everything that God's allowed to you to happen in this journey is to make you better. The whole journey is complicated. And the whole journey, sometimes we have to suffer situations. But God is trying to see what are you going to do with that. God already equipped you to get that. He will have the answer for you. You're not just thrown at them. You know, we're not a paddle, you know. God will already have the answer before he lets you go through that thing. He is the solution. So this journey is complicated. And we are going to put to a test because the test is what is going to help us to understand what is in me. See, I don't know what I can do. Until the test come and I said, whoa, wow, I didn't know I could do that. But the test help you grow. The test is not to destroy you. The test is to get that you can grow through this journey so you can be like him. Grow to the same character that he has. So every time you go through any situation in life, you know, don't complain. Just ask God, you know, God, what is I supposed to do?
Right. Amen.
Do I'm lacking something? Let's check my heart. Is this situation supposed to bring me to some understanding or some enlightenment or something that I'm not doing or I need to do?
Right.
Everything that happened in your life through this process, through this journey, is to bring something better, something godly, something on you. So, Jesus was sinless. What did he have to be obedient? He was obedient. But he needed to learn, you know, for the thing that he suffered. And that's what Paul said. I not only want to know him in his resurrection, but I want to know him in his what? Suffering.
Right.
Sometimes we don't like to suffer, you know. Right. I don't like to know him that. I like the good parts. But when you suffer like he suffered, God is making you a better person. Maybe you cannot see it then. But all things work for good. God is trying to do something. He's going to turn it around. Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. What's wrong with you, Paul? We glory. Do you guys glory when things are going bad? You should glory in tribulation. Also knowing that the tribulation work at what? Patient. I told you that we need patience, right? No, not for it, but it will work patient. You know, Abraham had to wait, what, 25 years? In that patience, he waited. It says patience brings what? Experience. And experience brings what? Hope. That's what young people don't have. Patience. No, they got patience. What they don't have is experience. You and I, older, we have experience. We have experienced life longer. Okay? But children and young people, since they have no experience, they don't know what they're going to do in a situation they had never experienced. They just knew. They're studying. But the Bible said that let her be patient and wait on the Lord. See? Let's say that you are going through a situation that you never have experienced before. So you go back to have patience on the Lord and wait for the answers. That's what he's saying. Patient on the Lord, and the Lord come in the scene and take care of this situation of yours. Now you have experience with God now. See? You waited, now you experience something that you was happy. Now you experience God in the scene taking care of that. You grow now because you have experienced that. Next time it happens, what do? You do the same thing you did before. In fact, Satan said, I cannot use this one now. He already figured this one out. Let's go to the next one. But it makes you grow. It makes you be patient to wait for God to take care of the situation. And when you experience that, then you have hope. This journey, you have hope to make it all the way through because he is the one in control of things. So when you experience it, when you are going through situation, have patience. Let go and let God. And when the more experience you have with God, the more hope in this journey as you walk. Well, he did that for me then. Oh, he's going to do it for me now. Why? Because I know he did it for me before. And he will do it again. And he will do it again. That's growing. You know how sometimes we say be patient with your children? You know, because they don't know anything. So we have to be patient. Once they start experiencing life and things, they will grow. And in church also, we got children born again, you know, just got baptized, you know. They just starting the walk.
Right.
We need to be patient with them.
Right.
And teach them to be patient with God. Because as soon as they experience God, that's one thing in their sight. They said, I know he did it for me, he will do it again.
Amen.
And the more you experience God, the more hope you have in the journey.
Yes.
So growing, first thing is being patient with yourself and with others. John 3:6 says, whosoever abide in him sins not. Remember we talked that if we please God, if dwell in God and God dwell in us, see, sins not. Whosoever sin has not seen him, neither know him. Now, it don't say making mistakes, right? We make mistakes, we do wrong choices, we make errors. We don't seem, you know, wanting to do it. You know, we don't get up in the morning, I'm going to rob a 7-Eleven today. No. That guy did to me, he's going to get it today. We don't operate that way. It's all the same. We don't get up thinking about doing wicked things. We don't live in that. But sometimes we do sin. Not intentionally. We do things wrong. But that's okay because we can ask to forgive us and he will clean us of all righteousness. Then we learn. We learn not to do it again. To be obedient. So, if he abides in us, that means we are not thinking about disobeying God because sinning is disbelief. We don't disbelieve the word of God. That's what Brother Brown says, sin is disbelief.
Amen.
But whoever disbelieve has not seen him, neither know him, nor growing. See? People were stagnated. They come to church and here today, gone tomorrow. Because they haven't grown. Because he don't abide. I don't know. I'm not here to say you have the Holy Ghost or not. But if you don't, it's going to be hard. It is hard to have with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine not having the Holy Ghost? I still make mistakes with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine not having the Holy Ghost? So, do not disbelieve the word of God. So whatever we hear, whatever truth we hear, whatever knowledge we hear, we let God reveal it to us. And then we can be a little bit wise. Proverbs 1:5 says, the wise will hear and increase their learning. You are here to learn, right? I'm not here to teach, right? So the wise, if you are wise and you're hearing them and God give you a revelation of the truth, then you increase what? Your learning. Not that you become more smart. It's just you're increasing. You're growing. You're developing spiritually. And the person of understanding will acquire wise counsel and the skill to steer his course wisely and lead others to the truth. So again, a wise person, see, increases their learning. They want to grow. And they want to grow. And the only way you can grow, coming back to church and keep teaching and keep learning. And the more you learn, the more you read your Bible, the more you pray, the more you what? Increase. That's what Brother Banner said. At least read your Bible and what? Pray. Listen at the sermons. Because if you want to grow, you got to learn. Just like a child, you have to learn. My child, you know, at the beginning, he didn't know how to dress himself, he didn't know how to put his shoes. I mean, then he started growing and developing, and then he started trying to put her shoes together, you know, my daughters. No, I can do it. Let me help you. No, I can do it. Put it backwards and two different kinds of shoes, but it doesn't matter. She was trying, right? She's trying to grow. And that's the thing in my church. We need to learn if we want to grow. That's why we come to church, to learn. You say, well, grow. I don't have to come to church to grow. I don't have the scriptures right now, but it comes to mind that in the Old Testament, the Levites, when one of their Levite members were ready to take on the ministry, what is one of the things that they used to do? They go into the Holy of Holy and get a little piece of what? The manna. Only them, not everybody will eat that, but the one that has been initiated as a what? Minister or Levite? Priesthood. Well, that's just the... Today, it is what we call a illustration. It's a shadow. See, when Brother Doug... goes out there and study, meditates. He's looking for bread, manna from heaven to give you.
Amen.
Because you are part of the priesthood too. He calls us priesthoods. Also, we are prince, you know. So we are of the Melchizedek order. So that manna was only given to the minister to the Levite, to the priesthood. So he can then minister to the people. Now, that wasn't for you. That was only for the praise. So if God is going to feed you, the only mouthpiece he's going to use as he search, as he study, he's going to give him bread from heaven so he can come and stand here and he can feed you so you can learn and you can grow. But you never can grow higher than what you are being taught. Because the servant of God is being fed by God, the manna of heaven, to give it to you. So you can grow also. But it's not the other way around. You cannot grow higher than your pastor teaching. Because if that's true, then you don't need to come. You already know enough. The only problem is, brother, why are we still here? You should have been raptured by now then. All I'm saying is, God made it this way, that you will be fed, that you will be given the life word of God through a ministry. That's it. So for you to tell me, I go home and listen to my tapes, read the Bible, that is good. But without the teaching that comes from the throne of God through your pastor, you won't grow. Okay, you might not believe that, but I do. I have grown a lot. I have not grown over my pastor. That's what I tell Andy and I. We say, I cannot bring you anything that is above him. See? Because he is the pastor that God has chosen here, not me. In fact, I am part of the congregation. So I am part of just like you. You know, I get fed every Wednesday, every Sunday. See? But I never will bring you something higher than what he's already bringing. It's impossible. Different ministry, different calling. That's what I said. We got a work to do. That's his work. And our work is different. He says, happy is the man, 3:13, who finds wisdom, Proverbs 3:13, and the man who gains understanding and insight. That's the way to grow. If you come to church and you decided that you thought that you didn't understand anything and you was more confused than when you came in than when you left, you're not growing. Because the reason you come over here because we want to grow through the understanding of the truth that is given, that comes forward. James 3, I want to read about a few. Actually, I want to read the whole chapter. No, sorry, 3, the whole chapter. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greatest condemnation. So you think you know more, it's going to be the more responsibility it's going to be, and the more demand and the more accountability we require from you. So I better just, you know, don't leave your hand. Like I was in the army, don't volunteer for anything. You know, everybody wants to be chief. You know, but if you're not called to be the chief, just stay in your position, in your place. See, people sometimes, I wasn't called to lead. I can tell you that much. I told Brother Doug when I started helping 15, 20 years ago, I said, I don't want your position. I'm not called for your position. And if I try, I'm in the wrong position, the wrong place, and it's going to be a mess. But I will help you. I don't want to be in a leading position. However, that don't mean that I can do a leading. But I would not volunteer. Even when I was in the army, I would not raise my arm. How many? No, you want me? You can just take me, force me, but I will not go. Give me an order. And in church, it's the same thing. I will not take the role of leading because it's not because I cannot do it. It's because I'm not called to be leading. People come to me from this congregation, they're not here. And before they ask me something, they confide in me and I say, have you talked to your pastor? Right. I'm not here to do, that's not my position. Right. Have you talked to you? No, but if you don't, I will tell them and then you will be called. And I have done that. I told the congregation all these years, if you don't want the pastor to know what you tell me, don't tell me because I will tell him because that is not my position. Right, right. And I don't want it. This is my responsibility.
Right.
But if I have to lead and there's nobody, I can do it. For a short, temporary, but not permanently. That don't mean that I cannot lead. I could. I got enough experience that I can do something like that. It says, too many masters, see, knowing that we shall receive the greatest condemnation, see. For in many things we offend all. Wow. Do I do that? If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. So, anybody here have offended anybody this week? You don't have to raise your hand. Because he said, in many things, we offend all.
Right.
Maybe it was a word you said to somebody. Maybe you didn't know, but you was offending the person. Maybe a joke you make and somebody got offended.
Right.
You know. For in many things, we offend all. Any man offends not in word, the same is perfect. So you want to grow in perfection, you want to grow, then what? Do not offend. He says, and able also to bridle the whole body. Talking about the tongue. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold, also the sheep which through they be so great are driven on fierce winds. Yes, are they turned about with a very small helm, whatsoever the governor listed. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. Behold, how great matter for a little fire kindled. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that is defiled the whole body and set it on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. I mean, it's not what you do. It's what you say.
Right.
You have to be careful how you treat others. You have to be careful what you said to others. I know some people get offended sometimes, but you didn't do it intentionally. I understand that. But you have to. We can tame animals, huh? Horses, and we cannot tame our own tongue. You know what it takes? God. God to change your heart. God to change your spirit. God to lead you. He's the only one can tame your tongue. However, he's not going to push you. You have to desire to be changed. It says, and the tongue is far, a world of iniquity. If you know what iniquity is, we know what to do right and we don't do it. See, that's completely disobedience. Amen. The whole body, and set it on fire, the course of nature. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tame and had been tamed by mankind, but the tongue cannot no man tame. So that means that if you want to tame your tongue, you have to do it yourself. You have to surrender to God.
Yeah.
Something has to change. Because
right.
I cannot force you, nobody can, but God can do it.
Right.
It is a really evil, full of deadly poison. They are blessed with God, even the Father, and they are with cursed with men, which are made after the similitude of God. Remember that the Bible also tells you that you got in your tongue, you had the power of what? Life. So you have to be careful, not offend anybody. That is a sign of maturity. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. Well, I'm going to get even with that guy. Do like Jesus did. He didn't even open his mouth. He couldn't. He didn't open. Sometimes it's better to kind of bite your tongue and let it go. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things are not to be. That a fountain sent forth of the same place sweet water and bitter water. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig, so can that fountain both yield salt water and fresh water? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Don't raise your hand. It's a question. Who? So it's hard to find them, huh? That don't mean they cannot be found. But it's a life process and a journey to get to this level. So we're going to make mistakes, but we're going to get there. So who? It says, knowledge among you. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. So you think you are, you have, you know, got there already. Then let me see your life. I don't want to hear. I want to see your life. I don't want to see a sermon preach. I want to see a sermon leave. That's what it's saying. Let your life tell. See, you can tell me that you're honest, but I don't know that until I see you not stealing. You can tell me that you never tell any lie. Well, I take your word, but I'm kind of cautious because I don't know if you did or not. Or I had to follow you every day to see if you tell lies. So the only time you know you're growing is when you put in a situation that you have to be dishonest. God will do these things. Yeah. See, all the things that we go through life. If you go to Walmart and you get your what you bought was $5, you know, or $10, and you get the lady 20 and she gave you the 20 back or gave you the wrong change, well, that's her problem, you know. I don't know what she's doing there. She don't know how to count. No, the thing is to say, sorry, you gave me too much change. Or it was so much. But then I can say you're honest. The reason God puts you to a situation like me in life is to prove to you who you are. God already knows who you are. But I never offend people, so you're going to put in a position that you're going to want to offend somebody. But all these are tests. I'm not talking about sinless, sin stuff that you got there and commit adultery. I'm talking about the daily life and what comes out of your mouth. That's simple. We don't have to look God in the sky and the pie. He's right here, right there, next to your tongue. And then, who is the wise man and do with knowledge among us? And there will be many, right? And it will be by a good conversation, his work with meekness and wisdom. The way you act, show me how much you grow. The way you act, show me you have wisdom or not. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is early sensual devilish, for we were envy, strife, confusion, evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first what?
Pure.
You know you're growing in wisdom. Check out your thoughts. Your thoughts speak louder than your tongue. This is for you to check, me to check ourselves. See, I don't need to tell you where you are. You know what you are. Come on, be sincere. You know what you are. He says, this wisdom descended not from above, but essential. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and evil. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceful. See, you don't get all rowdy. So, I'm right. I told you. Well, what are you getting all excited about? If you're right, then you keep your mouth shut and we find out who is right. So, the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceful. Remember that every time you get, this is me. I don't know about you. This is me. Every time I get in a situation that is going to be confrontational, or something is going to happen that I don't want to happen, but I want to do, I get nervous. I'm very nervous. I start getting, you know, like, I don't know what to call it, but it's a sensation that I know something is not going to be right if I do what I want to do. But that's the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is there. And as soon as we want to go the other way, all that is the Holy Spirit convicting you. Hey. And then I'm feeling that way, so I better not do it. He said, but the wisdom that is from above is pure, is peacefully. You don't feel like, you know, confused or you don't feel like, you know, they're pulling you apart, or you don't feel like somebody's trying to you know, whatever. It's peaceful. If you find yourself in that situation, then there's wisdom. You're using wisdom. See, you don't have to get rowdy and all bent out of shape, because you know there's wisdom. It's peaceful. You don't have to be rowdy about it or make a blood of noise so everybody will know what's going on. And is it to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without partiality. You know, sometimes we prefer one side than the other side. You know, we lean toward one side. But we are partial when it comes to other people. We cannot love some people and hate some people. Or, okay, brother, we don't hate. Or you cannot love some people and love some people less. You have to love your enemy as well as you love your brother and your sister. Partially, that's what it means. You cannot be partial. That's a sign of maturity. For full of mercy and good fruits. Well, the Bible said that the seed fell on good ground, and it gave what? 30, 60, 100. Well, I want to give 100. That means in different levels with different increases. Not everybody's going to increase in the same level, but as long as the increase is given. You know, some people are 30%, some people are 60%, and some people are what? 100%. But God is the one that do what? Give the increase. So fruits, see? Mercy in good fruits, without partiality, and without what? Hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You're not going to win anybody. We are not going to win anybody unless we sow in peace. Yeah. You have to be in peace with yourself before you can even try to sell somebody peace. I'm almost done. Give me 5 minutes. I'm going to reach what Brother Brown said. What thou hears, Elijah, he says, what hear thou? What can you hear? What have you heard through the years? That's the same question I think we need to answer ourselves. What have you heard all this year? How many years have you been in the message? He says, we have miracles. We have things that God has meant to wait. He performed miracles, never changed the country. The still sin is on the rampage, worse than it ever was. So nobody's growing, is what he's saying. And move right into the lock of the church and has tore it up. What did our miracles do? What did our healing campaign? I believe divine healing, sure, but you can never measure in minor. Divine healing is a minor. We could never measure in those things. The church ought to be to maturity. And that was way back in 59. Where should we be today? The maturity of this church will be seen in the attitude of the people as a whole, but as a member too. Look, how can anybody want to belong to a church if everybody's fussing and fighting and striving? That's not maturity.
Right.
And if that's all the church can offer, nobody's going to grow.
Right.
Probably they get damaged before they can grow. The church had to be maturity, and we had a rushing wind, and we had all kind of sensation. Where is the church at? Where are we today as a local?
Right.
Have we grown or not? It will show in your attitude, in my attitude.
Right.
Or the things that we had just talked about. Still more denomination growing every day. Yeah, building kingdoms. In this message, we got the same thing. And colonizing and everything. And it's still the same men, see? And Israel in the church, he says, like we was talking of Abraham and how God took Sarah and Abraham when they was 100 years old and turned them back to a young man and a woman again and give them this baby. That was kind of hard to see at first. But after you look at the scripture, look down there and find out that they've taken place, you see it's the truth. What was he doing? Confirming his word. that someday we will turn old and gray and wrinkled. That's me. Talking about me. God gave us life and we come to maturity. So I should be more an example to you of maturity than you are me. Because what? I live longer. And I'm getting now to be well seasoned now. Okay? So, and that will happen too. So what he's talking about, this is not a 1 day, 2 days, a week, a year. This is a journey. And the older you get, the wiser you should get, right? We should not be getting older and older and then going backwards. Well, I used to go to church every day. But what happened now? Attendance. Well, I liked that church that day, but that year, but now I'm so... Oh, so what happened? Things should get better, not worse. As you age in the Lord and you start growing, then you start getting spiritually and also physically mature. He says, conforming the word of some or the gray wrinkles someday. Okay. He says, God gave us life and we come to maturity. That's set in. See, I'm burning my last light, but I'm getting mature. I'm glad, you know. I mean, nobody likes to get old, but in this journey, you want to get wise. You got to get old, and you have to learn. That's why we venerate, you know, veterans and people that have been in wars, and because they have been through life and they have fought and for this country, you know, and they got old. And the young people, you should always respect. You know, because those people, they have learned something. Give us life, says, but all the dead can do is take us away, then it is finished. Then all doubting parts and everything. It's like the man life in there has gone out. Then there are nothing left but perfection. That's what I wanted to get. When did the perfection end? When the learning ends? When you die. So this is not going to stop until. Amen. Until you learn the character of Jesus Christ. And that will take until you are done. When Jesus takes you out of here, that's my story, then you're done. You will not leave this place until you have reached the character of Jesus Christ. And the wisdom and the favor with God. So, you got a long journey on your hands. Mine is coming short. You're still in the middle. But this is never ends. So don't think that one day you're going to wake up, oh, I'm done. Well, if you're dead, you're done. Because this journey don't end until he comes. Now he says, now there's nothing left but perfection. Now, what he's talking, what this body was when it was in perfection. When did this body was in perfection? Before the foundation. In his mind. The two spirits together, Adam and Eve, in one body. They were in perfection. Until they were put in a body, Adam was still in perfection. See? What this body was when it was in perfection, what God intended when he resurrected in the resurrection. See? After he resurrected, it will be perfection. So I'm going to go down in imperfection, but I'm going to come back in perfection. Oh, when I think of that, my heart just turns flip-flop. Yeah, it is not just a mystical dream. If that said the Lord, God says so. Then I will base my life right there. Yes, sir, God says so. That settles forever. Oh, it's settled in heaven, and it's a little piece of heaven. It's in our heart, and I have to settle it there. That's all. That just makes it all right. God, you said so. I believe it. And that's just all. Amen. That's enough. Amen. I'm not dumb. That's enough. Amen. So, you are for a rough ride. But it's going to be a good ride. Amen. Because it's going to take you a lifetime. You're going to have to live a lifetime to come to perfection. And you will not live here until you complete it. God will not take a half that I know some people die, you know, but that because they're done. God decide who and when and where. But as long as you're in this flesh, you have something you're going to learn. You might learn more than the young people, but you don't know it all. But perfection will be that day when that theophany body comes. This life that is in me, that God put in me, goes in that theophany. I got a new body. That's perfection. That's what God intended for the foundation of the world. But if we don't work towards that, I wonder how much do you want perfection. Because here is where you work it out. Not there. Here is where you work perfection. Here is where you work it by having wisdom, by understanding, by learning, by having a revelation of God, so you can tame your body. Not me. You need to tame your own body. I tame my body. Because I want my body to get to that point of perfection. Because when I get there, I'll go home. You know, it had to be because I'm old. You know, it had to be that. Because it's going to be a quick work one of these days. I think we're almost there. When the last one comes in, I don't know what age will be, if it's 30 years old or 20, but it's going to have a quick work. But it has taken me almost 30, 40 years. Somebody's going to have to do it in whatever, a month or two. Then we live here. It's going to be a quick work. But nobody will live here until you are perfect. And your wisdom will show you where you are. If you are wise or not in the things of God, doing His will, walking His ways, showing that He's alive and you are a reproduction of Him in this earth. And that takes perfection. And He can do that in you, slowly, slowly. Can we stand? Growing up in Christ, I don't want to stay a baby. I want to grow up. And I think that's your desire. You want to grow up because I want to get out of here. And I'm not going to get out of here until I grow up. So, and more than that, I want to please Him. Whatever He desires from me, that's what I want. I want to continue being taught, you know, not believing that I know everything, but I want to be, when I come over here, I want to open my heart. God, show me. Teach me. Teach me your ways. Amen. I want to be like Christ. He grew in stature, in wisdom, and He pleased God. Amen. That is the good testimony by congregation of a church to be said, right? Yeah, I went to the Love Divine. I mean, those guys are really mature spiritually. I mean, they're wise and they're also, you know, growing in faith and love and all the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you one more time, Father, for your word. Father, your word is life unto us, is bread, Father, tonight. Father, it sustains our bodies, Father. I know like food, regular natural food sustain our body. Your word sustain us, Father, and keep us. Your word help us, Father, to grow, to mature, to be like you. It's all we want, Father. To be like Jesus, Father. We want, He's our pattern, He's our model, Father. We need to grow to the stature of a perfect man that is Jesus Christ. That is going to that head of this body that is Christ, Father. And then we can join with you, Father. Father, we thank you for this congregation. Thank you for those that the work that you have called to work and to do. And even if it's just to come, to support and to say amen and to bring the little link, Father. It is just as important, Father, as the other things that we do in the church. Father, thank you and continue preparing us for your work, for your good work, Father, in this life, Father. We want to grow to be a body that you are pleased to dwell in this local congregation, Father. We want to please you in everything, whatever desire you have, Father. We want to do it. Father, thank you for our pastor. Thank you for his dedication. Thank you for his word. Thank you for the way, Father, he believes and he feels about this congregation. Now, whatever he said, give him a good meeting, Father. May souls will come to Christ. May people's lives will be broken, will be fixed. There will be healing, Father. Everything that is you, Father. Use them mightily, Father, where he said, Father. Father, we bring it back home, save us all, Father. Thank you for this congregation, for this local congregation, Father, that we are member of, Father. Help us, Father, to continue growing, not growing just ourselves, but growing as a body, Father, as a member of a body, to continue doing the work that you have called us to do, Father, in this congregation, to help one another, to help each other, to pray, to have faith, Father, all the things, love one another, Father. All that, Father, comes with the package, Father. Father, thank you for calling us to this journey. We love you and we appreciate everything you have done in our life and just continue doing it, Father. Now bless the people, Father, as they go home. Take them home safe, Father. Give them rest, Father. The kids that got to go to school. Rest them tonight, Father. The one that had to go to work. Father, if there's another Sunday, we expect it to hear from you Sunday, Father. Bless my brother Andy. Use him mightily, Father. Fill him, anoint him, and speak to my heart. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask you all these things. Amen and amen.